Thanks for that song. And I'm glad that you people laugh at my jokes. You always did. I preached at a church one night, and I had a joke I thought was the funniest thing in the world. I got done telling that joke, and everybody sat there. Not one changed expression on one face. I looked around for a hole to crawl down into and couldn't find one. There wasn't any door off the platform, so I just made one. I've got to share this. My wife's probably tired of hearing it, but funny thing, I told this joke to my brother who lives down in Florida. He's a couple years younger than me, but I think his memory is, well, I won't say anything about his memory because mine's not too good either. But this old man was sitting on this airplane getting ready for a long flight, and he was tired. He was sitting there taking a little nap, and this lawyer came on the plane and sat down beside him. As he looked at that, I call him an old man because I can do that now because I'm an old man. But he thought to himself, I can probably get one over on this old man. And so he nudged him and said, let's play a game. And the old man said, no, I'm not interested. I'm just tired. I just want to take a nap. He said, well, I'll tell you what, let's play this game. I'll tell you a story, I'll ask you a question that way, and if you can't answer it, you have to give me $5. And then you ask me a question, and if I can't answer it, I'll give you $500. Okay? The old man got kind of interested then, so he said, well, okay. So the lawyer said, how far is it from the earth to the moon? The old man just pulled out $5 and handed it to him and went back to sleep. And the Lord said, no, now you've got to ask me a question. So, okay. He said, what goes up a hill on three legs and comes down on four? And that lawyer, he scratched his head and he tried to think, and he called back to the people in his office. He searched on his laptop. He had them helping him. He just couldn't come up with an answer to that. What goes up a hill on three legs and comes down on four? And finally, he gave up and handed the old man $500. True to his word. The old man said, thank you. Went back to his nap. And the lawyer at this time, he was just dying to know the answer. So he said, well, no. Tell me what goes up a hill on three legs and comes down on four. The old man just I've lost track of my joke now. Anyhow, okay. It really was funny. Oh, but he handed him $500 and went back to sleep. The old lawyer asked him, what goes up a hill on three legs comes down on four? The old man handed him $5 and went back to sleep. Now, see, I lost you there somewhere, didn't I? So the old man wasn't so dumb after all. So don't mess with us old people. Speaking of old, we came here to pastor in 1992. I was 55 at that time. So you can do the math. and tell how old I am. And if you want me to save you the trouble, I just turned 86 in May. We have a great-grandson that just got his driver's license. That's hard to process. But you know, it's been a wonderful trip. And 5 years of pastoring here was one of the best parts of the trip. Often had second thoughts about having left here. But yet I see God's hand in the whole thing. But we'll never forget those 5 years. Being your pastor, the way you folks treated us was marvelous. I look around and see there's so many faces missing. But I see new faces. And you don't know me. It's all right, I don't know you either. But we'll get acquainted after a while. No way, nothing like getting acquainted around food. And we always found plenty of good food here at Locust Grove. More than enough. Well, Norma, I never did like her. The very first Sunday we were here, she got up and told a story on us. It wasn't true, but it sure was funny. But talked about the note I left her when she was working there at that station there in the Moequa. And I happened to be up through there for some reason, and I stopped in to see her, and she wasn't there. So I made this little note and laid it on her desk, and I knew for sure that she would recognize immediately who it was. I said, "Your nemesis was here." She didn't know the meaning of nemesis. But Norma, I love you anyhow. I don't know that. Is that you? I don't even know how I'm going to preach now after all this, but I didn't have just a real formal sermon, just some sharing to do this morning, and sounds like that's going to be all right. Talking to the fellow back there in the corner before service. You know, at Salisbury Church, we have men guarding the doors with concealed weapons, have cameras on some of the doors. We never thought it would come to this. It's going to get worse. I think we see foreshadowings of a time called the tribulation, the great tribulation, which covers the last half of this 7 years, 7 years of tribulation. Now, if you're a born-again believer, if Jesus is living in your heart, you're saved. Say it that way, that's the best way to say it. This tribulation time is not for you. It's not for the church. The main purpose of the tribulation time is for the salvation of the Jewish nation, Israel. Israel has gone through terrible persecution through the years because they forgot God. They forgot the God that led them out of slavery from Egypt, took them to a land flowing with milk and honey, the land of Canaan. God said not to worship the idols, the idol gods of the people of the land that they journeyed through, and the people of the land that he took them to. That's why he said to destroy every man, woman, and child in those ungodly cities. Because he didn't want them taking up their idolatry. But that's exactly what they did. Over and over again, God had to punish them. They repented and came back to him. They would go at it again. And when God finally sent, according to promise, their Messiah, that was going to set up a kingdom for the nation Israel, and he's still going to do it. It's still in the future, and I think that future is getting very close. The time of the millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ, when he's going to rule over all the nations, but especially going to rule over the nation Israel. That's going to happen after a 7-year period called the tribulation. And it's during the tribulation that the nation Israel will suffer their worst persecution. But it is what will cause them to finally look up and accept their Messiah. I'm covering a lot of territory here in a few words. The next big event on God's calendar is what is called the rapture of the church. Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, when Peter confessed that he was the Christ, that Jesus was the Christ, Jesus said, upon this rock, he's speaking of a big rock, a big stone. He said, you're Peter. That name meant a little stone. But he said, on this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The forces of Satan and hell have tried to destroy the church through the centuries, but they've only succeeded in making it stronger. The church, the body of Jesus Christ, of which you and I are a part. Jesus is coming back for us. My wife and I like to visit cemeteries. That sounds like a gruesome hobby, doesn't it? But we see names on tombstones of people that I knew from the time I was a child. And my wife especially likes to go out to the old Willis Chapel Cemetery, church where I grew up. A little cemetery on the side of a hill. It's not that much of a cemetery, but got a lot of people in it. My dad, my mother, and my oldest sister, side by side. My oldest sister was 13 years old when she got killed, hit by a train. I wasn't quite 4 years old when this happened. So I barely remember my oldest sister, just a glimpse or two of her, and remember seeing her in her casket. If it wasn't for that, I probably would have no memory at all. And every time I go out there, I think about this. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 14 to 17, it speaks of this event called the rapture. There's going to be a shout, the voice of a trumpet, appearing in a cloud. They're in the clouds. Is the Lord Jesus Christ. With that shout, the graves of the believers are going to be open. My dad, my mother, my sister. And now then, most of my other brothers and sisters, I have one sister and one brother left. Out of 8. There's going to be some commotion in those cemeteries. I think of the many that was in this congregation when we were here. They're not here anymore. Those graves are going to be open. We're all going to come out. That old body that's put there, that decayed, nothing but a skeleton. It's going to be overhauled. God made it from nothing. From nothing he made something. And as one man said, if he took something and he made from nothing, he can take something and overhaul it. That's what he's going to do to us. Come out with a brand new body, Glenn. You didn't have white hair when I first knew you. No, actually, we never die, just our body dies. And when we die, our spirit leaves our body, goes to be with Christ. I don't know just exactly the situation that believers are in when they die. They go to be with Christ, go to be with the Lord. Whether they're in some kind of body or just in the spirit, I don't know. I like to think that we have some kind of body after we die, a temporary body. I don't have any proof of this, so I'm not going to preach it as gospel. But anyhow, we know we'll be with Jesus in that old body, decaying away there in the grave. But Jesus is going to come back with that shout. I think that when he raised Lazarus from the dead, this was a type of the rapture. When he stood out there by that cemetery and he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And out he came. Now, I don't think if he had said Lazarus, I think if he had just said, "Come forth," everybody would have raised him. But I believe that when Christ appears in that cloud, that he's going to call everybody's name. God's able to do that. And all the believers, that old body that was buried that we wept over, that point of connection we had with everyone, it's going to be renewed. It's going to be restored. It's going to be overhauled. It's going to be brand new. It's going to be forever. We'll join that new body and go back to be with the Lord. That ought to make us dance up and down the aisle just to think about that. That's a hope we have as believers. It pays to be a Christian. I haven't even got to my message that I had in mind to preach, and I'm not going to. Let's just keep on going like we're doing, and I'll quit before lunchtime. I sure appreciate that choir. Nola's always been a magician when it comes to organizing a choir. And that song, "Holy Highway," just makes me want to cry. And oh, what a Savior. Probably sung that song more than any song I've ever sung. Appreciate all that. Is it all right with you if I just reminisce like this? If it's not all right, I'm going to do it anyhow. The rapture. The next event on God's calendar. There's going to be 7 years of tribulation. The last 3.5 years are referred to as the Great Tribulation. When the Antichrist will be revealed, he'll be in charge, but he's going to be revealed for what he really is. The temple is going to be rebuilt. There's no temple in Jerusalem now. In AD 70, the Romans destroyed the temple and destroyed the city. It's never been rebuilt. The temple hasn't. But it's going to be rebuilt during the tribulation time. And the Antichrist is going to go into the Holy of Holies, where only the high priest was allowed to be. And he's going to offer a sow upon the altar. Pork was forbidden for the Jews to eat. What worse thing could he do? And he's going to demand to be worshipped. He's going to cause everybody to receive a mark on their hand or on their forehead. And I think that mark is here today. There almost is. It's going to come to the point where you go through by the cash register and you just run your hand over. And whenever I stand in line at a checkout counter, most of the people there before me are using their credit card or their debit card. And I always have cash. If I have cash at all, that's what I use, is cash. Things are pointing up to their this time. But if you don't have that mark, then you can't buy or sell. So if you don't have the mark of the beast, now, you people are saved, you won't have to worry about this because we won't be here. Praise the Lord for that. But the people that are here, if they refuse that mark, they can't buy or sell. If they accept Christ, now, during the tribulation, people will come to Christ. That's a whole other sermon that I won't take time to preach right now. But if they become a believer and refuse to accept the mark of the beast, many of them will lose their head. Their head will be chopped off. That's during the last half of the tribulation. And then the last thing that's going to take place is all the armies are going to gather around toward Jerusalem in an attempt to destroy the city. And there's going to be a loud noise. And everybody's going to look up. And here comes the Lord Jesus Christ riding on a white horse. And all the host of heaven, I'm going to be in that crowd. You'll be in that crowd. I never was much of a horse rider, but I'm going to be riding a horse then. Big white stallion. Armies of heaven coming back. And this battle's going to be raging there around Jerusalem. And when they hear that noise and see that great throne coming, they're going to turn their weapons on Christ. But what's happened is fire going to come down from heaven to destroy them. God is always able to fight our battles, and He wins every battle He fights for us. Christ is going to set up that kingdom He promised to Israel. And He's going to rule and reign over Israel and the whole world and all the Gentile people. And we're going to be here with Him to help Him in that rule. He's going to rule over them for 1,000 years. It's going to be a glorious time. This earth is going to be restored to its Eden-like qualities. It's going to last 1,000 years, but then that 1,000 years is going to end. During this time, Satan is going to be in the bottomless pit. He won't be around to bother anybody during that 1,000 years. But at the end of the 1,000 years, he's going to be released from that prison. And what's he going to do? He's going to go throughout the world and gather up an army. Can you imagine the world after 1,000 years of the righteous rule of the Lord Jesus Christ? There are going to be people that will rebel and reject him. And he's going to gather that army. and is going to make one last attempt to destroy Israel, to destroy Jerusalem, a place he hates, a place that God loves. One last attempt. And that's when they're going to be destroyed by the hand of God, and Satan is going to be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. We ought to all be waving our hands and shouting hallelujah at that thought. Satan, forever and ever in the lake of fire. And as I close, let's go to Revelation. Have I preached an hour yet? You know, Peter has said that the earth is going to be destroyed by fire. The elements will melt with fervent heat. The earth was destroyed once by flood, next time by fire. Now that doesn't mean the earth's going to be annihilated, but it's going to be purified. The fire, the brimstone, everything's so hot, it's going to destroy everything on the face of the earth. And I think it'll go down into a certain depth. It's going to destroy everything that has the name, the label sin. He's going to completely purge this earth, make it brand new. There won't be a hint of sin of any kind. There won't be any graves left, because the fire will burn it all up. All the tombstones, everything that man has made is going to be burned up. But in Revelation chapter 21, we see these glorious words. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. A new heaven, a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. The new earth is going to be all land. It won't be separated by oceans. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for herself, for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God." And here's a good one. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And this is good. This will be the last one I read. "And he that sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.'" I make all things new. Wow. All things are new. You like new things? Sure. Now, Don, you're not in search for a new husband, but you like new things. Oh, it's a blessing. It's a blessing to see Melvin up here taking part and leading things. Never thought about this happening. Melvin, bless you. God bless you. Okay, let me see if I can find a place here to close. I want to quit before you do. I never realized this till in deeper study the last few years. We always think of heaven as being up, and it is. Jesus lifted up his eyes toward heaven in John 17 and prayed that chapter-long prayer. So we think of heaven as up. But now then it says this earth's going to be destroyed, fire. He says there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. It's going to be a brand new earth. Why? He made the earth to be inhabited. The new earth is going to be inhabited. He speaks of this city, this holy city, the new Jerusalem. What, 1,600 miles wide, 1,600 miles long, 1,600 miles high. That's a big town. Casey, we have big things. And people come from everywhere to see those big things. Those things are a little bitty compared to this city. It's coming down out of God from God out of heaven. And where's it coming to? It's coming to that new earth. Heaven's going to be on that new earth. Heaven's coming down from up, and it's going to be here on that new earth. Have you ever thought of that? Well, you people are way ahead of me. It's going to be perfect. It's going to be glorious. Our loved ones. Nola, Mom and Dad will be there. Maybe she can play the piano. Those graves out there in that cemetery are going to be going to be burned up. I'll see Dad and Mom. My oldest sister that I never really got a chance to know, I'll say, Lois, let's sit down here for a couple hundred years and let's get acquainted. Eternity is forever and ever. Forever. I better quit. I don't have a conclusion. And she's nodding her head. I better quit. She's the best wife I've got. When she turned 40, I thought of about trading her in for two 20s, but I decided to keep her. She's a great woman. Hardest worker I've ever seen in my life. I just sit in my easy chair and watch her. I'm not much able to do anything else nowadays. But that next great event on God's calendar, I think it's getting really, really close. And as the last verse of Revelation, the last verse of the Bible said, "Behold, I come quickly." And it ends with this, "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus." He's coming soon. You don't have a closing song or... If you're not ready for that voice that says, going to say, come up here, I think that's what he's going to say. That shout, if you're not ready to go up when Christ comes down, right now is the time to make that preparation. Your ticket's already been bought and paid for on the cross of Calvary. Come and accept Christ, or come and renew your relationship with him, but come.